The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Music. It is the highest form of logic. We don't know it, but it is. And the Lord said, "You can worship me, Father." We have heard the sounds. We have heard the voices, and Father, now we stand to hear your word. I just wanted to, just before we get started, I asked my son to come and play a hymn for us. Joshua, I asked you to come in your own way, son. Thank you, Lord, for the precious gift. Now, if you would, you turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the 17th chapter of Acts. The clock on the wall reads 5 of 12. So I'm going to push hard to be done by 12:30. Amen. So y'all can go downstairs. There's a dinner prepared for you all in the fellowship hall. I'm still thumbing through my Bible trying to find Acts. Here we are. Acts 17th chapter. I'm going to read the 19th through the 31st verse. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives all life," amen, hallelujah, glory, "he gives all life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointment times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Somebody ought to listen to this. "So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, 'For we are his offspring.' Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art or men's devising. Truly, truly, these times or ignorance of God overlook, but not commands of all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I have 3 points. There are incommutable attributes of God. that he is transcendent. Point number two is that he is immense. And point number three, that he has eminence. To say that a different way. Let me point out some of the very significant elevations and altitudes of the Bible. As I was doing a search on that, I searched elevation first in the Bible, and to my surprise, it kept on giving me people who were elevated during the time of the Bible, whether there were good elevations or bad elevations. Saul, who had a coronation, he wasn't anointed king of Israel, was elevated to that position. Y'all remember Jezebel, the self-made prophet? She was elevated. She elevated herself to a position. So the Google search was trying to give me those type of elevations, which was interesting, but I was looking for actually altitudes and elevation. But of the highest elevation or altitude in the Bible was Mount Hermon, which stood 9,232 feet. In relative terms, is almost 2 miles in the air. We know this mount also as the Transfiguration. Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, which stood 7,497 feet, or a mile and a half. We know it is the place where God and Moses met. Moses brought back the Ten Commandments that nobody likes. Calvary, or Golgotha, where our Lord and Savior was crucified, stood 2,536 feet above sea level. And from the courts of Jerusalem, where the cross was laid upon his physical shoulders, it was only a 62 feet incline to salvation. Now we arrive at Mars Hill, or the Areopagus, in the great city of Athens, which stood only 137 feet above sea level, but it was only a 60 feet incline from the marketplace up to Mars Hill. So for all intents and purposes, there was only a 2 feet differential between the cross and the altar that they had erected to the unknown God. There was only 2 feet between theology and philosophy, between Scientology and Christianity. Or, in football terms, they were about a yard short of salvation. Our subject for today is high on something. High on something. Some of y'all looking at me strange, but it's in the Bible. I found it. I found it in the second chapter of Acts. I'm going to read it to you. We got time. It said, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all of you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For we are not drunk. As you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servant and my maid servants, I will pour on them my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy.'" Amen. Peter said, we ain't drunk yet. It's too early in the day, at least not on wine. But he was drunk on the Holy Spirit. Throughout the entire book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is acting. From chapter 1 all the way up to the concluding chapters, the Holy Spirit is in control if you study and watch the book. As I said, our subject for today will be on high on something. Have you noticed today or even yesterday that people are high on something? It seems that no matter where we go or what we do, we find people high on something. It's not just the drugs or the alcohol that people are high on. It's not just the heroin or the crack cocaine or the pain pills. People today get high off of themselves. The dope of today is inside of degrees and titles and education, what you're driving and where you live, etc. People get high on putting others down. You know any people like that? And I'll let you know in on a little secret. It was told to me, he said, people who always talk about what their titles are or how much money they got, they're some of the most insecure people that you want to meet. They're insecure. That's why they always talk about other things except for who they are, their character. So they try to establish, as the pastor would say, a reputation. And as he would say, they are both good and bad. Reputations are. Page 2. God, we inform you, dear brothers and sisters, that getting high is nothing new. Men and women have been pontificating and prognosticating long before CNN. You can tell when someone is pontificating because they always start their sentence with, I think. If you ever turn on it, they say, I think, it's my opinion that this. They're pontificating about things. And we always depend on the information of men as qualified information instead of going to God and asking him for clarity and for truth. Try the spirit by the spirit. If you want to know what it is that God is saying, ask him. Amen. If you remember forward in the book of Acts, when directed, King Agrippa answered to Paul, and he said, Paul, speak for yourself in Acts. And Paul began to saying to him, I think myself happy. Then Paul went on to testify about the things which God had caused to happen to him and how he was filled not by wine but by the Holy Spirit from that day to this one. And King Agrippa's response was, at verse 28, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Yes. Tell your neighbor that almost is too short. It's not a first down. If the nose of the ball is behind the line, it's not a first down. We find in our text that Paul and Luke, upon their arrival in Athens, discovered an entire community of philosophers titillating on intellectual matters. At verse 21, it says, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there, who spent their time doing nothing else but either to tell or to hear of some new thing. The Epicureans and the Stoics, no matter how high they got, they were always 2 feet short of the glory of God. Point number one, the transcendence of God. What is transcendence? Transcendence is to exist above, surpass, succeed. Thus, God is the only true transcendent being. This is why the Holy Spirit speaks to these philosophers at verse 24, and he says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth. Somebody need to know that. God is Lord of heaven and earth. He does not dwell in temples made with hands. Let me tell you something else. Nor do he dwell in telescopes that are flying out in space taking pictures of things and sending them back to Earth. I've seen a program the other day that said one of the telescopes is out there. It takes 8 weeks for the information to get back from where it is in space back here. And the thing about it that really blows my mind is that it's going on, and there are stars and planets everywhere. God is immense. He's transcendent. He's above all. He sprinkled everyone in the universe. And right now, we don't know if the universe even has an end to it. So, that blows my mind. But I'm not getting high on that. I'm getting high on the power of God and what he does. Amen. The transcendence of God is what we were speaking about. God, who is transcendent, a God who made everything and in it, in the heavens and earth, and he told us that he do not dwell in temples that are made with man's hands or stone or brick. Hello, somebody. The reason why God was unknown to them was because the first thought that he may have found were the fact that they had built or erected temples made of stone or cut from stone, and statues of Hermes, the Greek god. They were everywhere, as Paul had observed. These people were high on everything else but on God. They even took them and set them on the highest place in Athens, and there they went to try to worship the unknown god. I don't know about you, but that just confounds me, how someone can be so intelligent and come so close but be so far away. And it also confers to us that God chose us and we didn't choose him. You can be as smart as you want to be, and degrees can line your wall, but if God have not spoke to your heart and he haven't let himself known to you, you are a lost person. So you know what our job is? You know what our job is? To bring the word to those lost people. He chose us. We are his offspring. So it is our job to bring the word to the lost people, to let them know about this God. Remember in Romans 1, Paul talked about, he said, no, God is everywhere. He's in everything. So we're without excuse. Every time you hold, you behold the skies, the trees, the stars, the ground, even the dirt amazes me. That is the most recyclable material ever. The dirt that I look at has been on earth since God made it. Isn't that something? We walk on it every day. We take it for granted. But it's the most recyclable material and the most useful material ever. But we call people dirt. We say they're lower than dirt. Dirt has a superior function. As a matter of fact, God chose to use his hand to dip down in the earth and make man. He created all things. He spoke it to existence, but he made us. Oh, my God. In other words, the greatest threat to a climb is a fall. You know, you can go so high, but that's the thing, the very thing that people fear, and the way they continue to fuel what it is that they do is by trying to always add into it. We're always trying to do things to maintain. A word of the day in business and construction is sustainability. Do you have sustainability? Can you get there and can you stay there? And what is your plan for staying? We were made by God and not we ourselves is what the scripture tells us. We were made by his hands. We didn't make ourselves. So we ought to be dependent upon God for all of our resources, but we're not. I want to just keep it real. Can I keep it real today? We go to Kroger's as soon as we get hungry. And we peruse the shelves for everything. And they say don't ever go to the supermarket hungry. And they're right. You start buying everything. But that's what we do in the devil's supermarket. We go hungry. We're thirsting for God. But we go to him for these type of things in the world. And we need to stop doing that. Paul, as he was addressing the men and the women of the Areopagus, never mentioned Jesus in this text. Have y'all read it? He never says Jesus. Nor does he say the great name of God. He doesn't say Yahweh. Paul, later on in Athens, as he was talking to Agrippa, or Festus, or one of them, he said, you know, one thing I try to do is not to offend anybody. I don't try to offend the Jews or the Greeks. He said, I'll just try to keep it right there in the middle so he don't go too far. No, he was using great deployment to make sure that the gospel got carried out. In other words, he wasn't shooting off at the mouth so that they would take him off somewhere and kill him, even though a lot of times they tried to. And as a matter of fact, the way Luke was writing, one tendency in here that I looked at, and one of the words that he used in verse 22, and I was concerned about, he said, then at verse 19, it says, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus. And I thought about that, even though if you really know the scripture, they said the same thing about Jesus. So they took him and they brought him to Pilate. Am I right about it? And so I was getting a little afraid, and I'm sure Paul probably was too, because what are these people getting ready to do to me? They said, come on, let's go up to the mountain, and we want to hear more about what you got to say. And Paul had just left Berea and Thessalonica, and they drove him out, and they didn't receive him well in those towns. And he had, as a matter of fact, the way that he got to Athens was by the Anacian Way, which was like a highway that was on the lower valleys of these mountains. And that's how he escaped. And that's how he got there. But he was pushed, he was drove. And that's why I love the Apostle Paul so much, because he was an overcomer. He wasn't complaining about being beat up just 3 weeks before. He came and stood on his own 2 feet, on the 2 feet of Jesus, I should say, and preached the gospel again, even though people had rejected him. And as soon as someone says something out of the way to us, or we don't get our way, what we do? We stop coming to church. Right? When we go into work, we go in the back door, we sneak in our little cubicle. We do our work, you know, we mad at the boss. But that's how we are. And those are the things that we have to be overcomers in order to carry this gospel to the world. Because it is Satan's job to stop us. So then Paul, as he was addressing the men and women of the Areopagus, he never mentioned Jesus, he never mentioned God. And Paul was teaching and preaching to them under the full influence of the Holy Spirit. His words were flowing powerfully like the Jordan River over the rocks and the stumbling blocks of these men's mind. He was soothing their doubts, and he was calming their fears. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke and shatters chains. Anybody know about that anointing? The anointing satisfies that which all living souls thirst for. Paul stood flat-footed on the 2 feet of Jesus Christ, the rock which is higher than Mars Hill and older than Mount Sinai, confessing and contesting that he knows who the unknown God is. He was at the beginning, and he was he who made us, and not we ourselves. He is God, and God is who he is. Do you know who he is? Do you know him this morning? I hear that you know of new things. Well, I would tell you that. Do you know of a Savior named Jesus? And if John were able to come and join them, he would tell them that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And here he stands on his own 2 feet, telling them about this Christ, this Jesus, without even mentioning his name. And they were almost persuaded. They were almost persuaded. My second point addresses the immensity of God. We find that at verse 25. What is immensity? There is with God no diffusion, nor contraction, no extensions. Sorry, ladies. No circumspection or any such. What? Or any such relation to space, as long as it belongs to limited natures. God is equally near to and equally far from every point of space and every atom of the universe. How about that? Have you contemplated that? Who God is, what he does, who he is, where he stands? Have you contemplated these things to know who he is? And my third and our final point is the immanence of God. What is immanence? God's immanence refers to his creation. A belief in God's immanence holds that God is present in all creations. And we find that at verse 28. He said he is present. He is present. I said he is present. Not Christmas present, but he is present in all creation, while remaining distinct from it. John 4, chapter 4, remember when he and the woman met at the well? And he told her that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him and in truth. Amen. God is a spirit. He has a spirit that no one else has. All along, he lives above the heavens. God resides above the heavens, but you know what? He's so good that he will visit us. He He will visit us, won't he? He is a spirit. He is a distinct spirit. Immanence of God. God, immanence is that we believe in God's immanence to hold that God is present in all creations while remaining distinct from it. In other words, there is no place he is not. His sovereign control extends everywhere simultaneously. Listen, verse 28 says, he is not far from each one of us. Tell your neighbor he's right next to you. As a matter of fact, he should be inside of you. Are you filled this morning? For in him we live and move and have our being. In him. As also some of your poets have said. See, Paul even knew their philosophy. He knew their poetry. He was educated. But he was humble. But we also are his offspring. God made us Matthew or Levi. I don't know why the Romans changed people's name, but Levi. Matthew's name was Levi. And you know what the Levites done, right? They were the priestly tribe of Israel, and they were in charge of the church functions, and they were in charge of providing high priests and all these type of things. But Matthew records for us the genealogy of Christ. Are y'all with me? I'm probably off the screen, but he records the genealogy of Christ. And when you follow his genealogy, one thing that he goes back to, he said that Adam was a son of God. He went through all these people, but he tells us that Adam was also the son of God, that God made him. We are his offsprings. It's also surprising to me that Greek and Romans were also the offspring of God at the recreation. All of these people should, if they have the Spirit in God in them, there's no excuse for them not to know him. And I want to tell you that the same people that we run into every day, believe it or not, they have the Spirit of God in them because God made all of us. And that is the Spirit that you speak to. And I think if you speak long enough and loud enough, but sometimes God will speak to you in just a whisper, that people might just in their hearts and minds hear what it is that God has to say. We are his offspring. He says, we do not find our happiness by getting high on the tangible things of this world. Nor is our joy found in drugs or alcohol or any such thing. We serve God who has left his throne, and now he walks and he talks with me. He walks and he talks with you, and he tells us that we are his own. Do you know who he is this morning? This is the God who gives us the blessed assurance. He let us know that we're never alone. No, never alone. I will trust in him until I die. Do you know him? If you know him, stand on your feet this morning. Do you know him? His name is Jesus Christ, God's son. Doors of the church are open this morning. It's now 12:25. I promise you that I will be done by 12:30.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.